So that also leads into the fascinating world of post-adjuvant therapy in the HER2-positive patient and the consideration of neratinib. So, for example, in this patient, once she completes the, and of course, I guess these patients couldn't have even gone on the ExteNET study, but I don't even know if you can give neratinib to this patient who's gotten neoadjuvant therapy. But in general, what's your thought about the use of the neratinib? And also this intriguing thing about the fact that the ER-positive, HER2-positive patients are the ones who seem to benefit.
Yeah, so it's an interesting study, the ExteNET study. As you know, that was a study that took women who'd finished a year of trastuzumab-based therapy and then were randomized to neratinib or nothing further. And because of when the study was done, people had a variety of different chemotherapy regimens, and they might have had concurrent chemotherapy trastuzumab or sequential chemotrastuzumab, a la the HERA study back when the ExteNET study was being conducted. So the interesting observation was that adding this extra year of post-adjuvant, I like that expression, post-neoadjuvant neratinib did seem to lower the risk of recurrence. In that group or in that study, all of the benefit was in the ER-positive subgroup. The curves for the ER-negative HER2-positives really come together and are quite overlapping.
And presumably, these people are getting endocrine therapy at that time.
That's right. So this is while they're on endocrine treatment. So what are the possibilities? So the possibilities are that there's some dramatic interaction between neratinib and anti-estrogen therapy. I got to say that has not historically been seen in other models. So for instance, if you look at the ALTO study, which was a study of lapatinib, the dual kinase inhibitor, there was no magic between adding lapatinib and getting benefit in ER-positive patients who were also getting adjuvant endocrine therapy. In the metastatic setting, I and others have run several trials looking at endocrine therapies with dual kinase inhibitors like lapatinib at the same time. And while you saw a small bump out in outcome for people getting effective anti-HER2 and anti-ER therapy at the same time, there didn't really seem to be what you would consider true synergy. So it's a little hard to know where that signal comes from. I think in the real world, we'll be looking at neratinib for high-risk ER-positive, HER2-positive cancers, patients who have multiple positive nodes, perhaps patients who have residual disease after neoadjuvant therapy. The caveat is that most such patients would also be getting pertuzumab in current practice, and there really aren't data for whether adding neratinib after pertuzumab would be of yet more clinical value.